Our scripture reading today is taken from the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 35. Let us hear the word of God. The wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are fearful-hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame man shall leap as a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For waters shall burst forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. In the habitation of jackals where each lay, there shall be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast go up on it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This ends the reading of the Holy Word of God. The text for the sermon today is taken from this passage of the Word of God that we have just read, Isaiah 35 and verses 5 and 6. And there we read these words, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing." May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his holy word to our hearts. Dear friends, why did Jesus Christ come into the world? Why was he born as a baby in Bethlehem, grow up to become a man, suffer and die on the cross, and rise again on the third day? Well, you might say he did this in order to save his people from their sins, and you would be absolutely right. This, after all, is the reason that the angel gave to Joseph as to why he should name Mary's son Jesus, because Jesus means Savior, and he would come, as he said, to save his people from their sins. But we could put it another way. We could say that Jesus came to reverse the effects of the fall of man into sin. And this is what the prophet Isaiah seems to be suggesting in the words of our text today, Isaiah 35 and verses 5 and 6. In this chapter, Isaiah describes the new heavens and the new earth. This is the final phase of our Lord's plan of redemption. It was inaugurated by his first coming, and it will be culminated in his second coming. And in this phase, God will bring about a complete reversal of the curse of God against sin. Paradise lost will become paradise regained. And this will affect man as well. For man in this regained paradise will be perfect. His body and his soul will be restored to its original condition. For we read in our text that when the Lord comes to save his people, as we read in verse 4, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb sing." By means of these words, Isaiah explains to us why Christ came to this earth. It was to reverse the curse of God against sin. Because of the curse, man became disabled. He became blind and deaf, lame and dumb. But as a result of the coming of Christ, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame leap, and the dumb sing. Well, with this in mind and God's help, let's consider the words of our text under this theme, the curse-reversing ministry of Christ to the spiritually disabled. And we'll see that this reversal involves a powerful transformation, and secondly, leads to a glorious culmination. Isaiah in our text describes the effect of Christ's ministry on the spiritually disabled. Now we know this because of what we read in Luke 7, verses 17 to 23. We read there how John the Baptist was in prison. And while he was there, his disciples came and told him about Jesus and the mighty works which he did, most recently the raising of the widow's son at Nain. When John heard this, he sent two of his disciples to Jesus, saying, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" In a response to this question, Jesus, quoting some of the words of our text, said, "Go and tell John the things you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have the gospel preached to them." Jesus here is taking the words of our text and he's applying them to himself. He says that the fact that the blind see, that the lame walk, that the lepers are cleansed, that the deaf hear, that the dead are raised, and that the poor have the gospel preached to them proves that he is who he claimed to be. He is the promised Messiah of God. And as such, the words of our text point to and find their fulfillment in him. He is the one who makes the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to sing. Notice that Isaiah here mentions four things that Christ does for the spiritually disabled sinner. First of all, he removes the curse of blindness. Our text says, "Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened." Now, man by nature is blind. He is spiritually blind. Man is blind to the existence of God. He is blind to his sin. He is also blind to his need for salvation. Sadly, however, at times even believers can be blind. In Revelation 3, verse 17, Jesus reproves the church at Laodicea for saying, "I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing." When in fact, he says, they were wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Yes, we too can be blind to our own sin and the consequences of our sin. We can be blind to the grace and the mercy and goodness of God and his willingness to forgive and to restore. We can be blind to the necessity and the beauty of Christ. We can be blind to our own inability, blind to the certainty of judgment, blind to the worthlessness of our own supposed righteousness. Yes, even we believers can be so blind. But the Lord Jesus came to reverse the curse of blindness. He came to open the eyes of the blind and to make them see. And he did. The Gospels record many examples of Jesus restoring sight to the blind. We can think of blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, or the man who was born blind in John chapter 9, or the man who at first saw men as trees walking after Jesus restored his sight. Yes, Jesus gave sight to the blind, and he does so still today. No, he doesn't heal people of physical blindness, at least not usually, despite the claims of various so-called faith healers. Nor does he cause the lame to walk, or the deaf to hear, or the dumb to speak, not literally. Not physically. Jesus performed these miracles only while he was on earth, as proof that he was the promised Messiah of God. And that's because Jesus does not have to prove that he is the promised Messiah of God anymore. He did that definitively when he rose from the dead. But through his word and Holy Spirit, he still causes people to be healed. He heals people of their spiritual blindness. He makes them see things they never saw before. He opens their eyes to acknowledge the existence of God, to bow before Him and to worship and to serve Him. He opens their eyes to see the sinfulness of sin and the penalty for sin, so that they will seek to be delivered. He opens their eyes to see their need for a Savior, and He works faith in their hearts, such that they come to believe in Him, to trust in Him, and to live for Him all the days of their life. Yes, Jesus gives sight to the blind. Are you also blind? If so, I have good news for you. Jesus can open your eyes. Secondly, Jesus removes the curse of deafness. Our text says, "And the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped." By nature, man is deaf. Just as he is blind, so he is deaf. He is spiritually deaf. He can hear the call of the gospel externally, but not internally. He hears it with the physical ear only, but not with the spiritual ear. And as a result, he does not respond to it. He just ignores it, or he mocks it, and he dismisses it. There are many examples of this kind of thing in the Scriptures. We can think of Felix, who after he heard Paul preach about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come, he was afraid. And he answered, and he said to Paul, "Go away now, for when I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Or we can think of King Agrippa, who after Paul preached to him said, "You almost persuade me to become a Christian." Or we can think of the men of Athens who, when they heard Paul preach about the resurrection, they mocked him. Or we can think of the Sanhedrin, who when they heard Stephen preach the gospel, were cut to the heart. They gnashed at him with their teeth and cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. That's man. That's man by nature. Man by nature is deaf. Yes, even believers can be deaf at times. We hear the word of God preached, but we don't understand it. We don't act on it. We don't take it seriously. We hear the invitations and the promises of the gospel, but we don't believe they're for us. We hear the free offer of salvation, but we think we still have to do something and meet certain conditions before we can come to Christ. We hear the warnings of the word of God, but we think that they apply to others and not to ourselves. We hear about sin and the consequences of sin and the certainty of judgment, but we minimize it and we convince ourselves that we're okay and we make excuses. We hear that man is utterly unable to do anything to earn his own salvation before God, but we keep trying to earn at least a part of our salvation. We hear God speak to our consciences, but we stifle them. We go on sinning. It's like we're deaf. Are you deaf today? Oh, if you are, I have good news for you. Jesus has come to reverse the curse of deafness. He has come to unstop the ears of the deaf and to cause them to hear. In Mark chapter 7, we read about a man who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. His friends and his family begged Jesus to put his hand on him and to heal him. And so Jesus agreed, and he took him aside, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And then looking up to heaven, he sighed, and he said to him, "Ephatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Jesus caused the deaf to hear, and he is able and willing to do the same for you, if you ask him. Thirdly, Jesus removes the curse of lameness. Our text says, "Then the lame shall leap like a deer." By nature, man is lame, spiritually lame. His sin has made him this way. Prior to the fall into sin, man was perfectly able to do the will of God, and he did it perfectly. But now he's dead in trespasses and sins, totally unable to do any saving good whatsoever. Apart from the grace and power of the Holy Spirit, he is even unable and unwilling to come to Christ for salvation. In John 6, verse 43 and 44, Jesus said to the Jews, "Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And in Romans 8, verses 7 and 8, Paul writes that the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And in Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3, the same apostle writes, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Dear friends, that's our condition before God by nature. We are lame, even dead. And believers are also lame in the sense that they're powerless to do anything in and of themselves. John 15, verse 5, Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Yes, although believers are converted to God, although they have a new nature and are partakers of the Holy Spirit, they can do nothing apart from Christ. They cannot even bear fruit unless they are attached to the vine who is Christ. Are you lame today? If so, I have good news for you. Jesus has come to reverse the curse of lameness. He has come to cause the lame to leap like a deer. Have you ever seen a deer leap? It's an amazing sight. They can run at great speeds through the forest. And when they come to a fence, they just leap over it like it was nothing. And they land with all 4 feet on the ground and they keep on running. Well, the Lord says this is what he will do with those who are lame. He will cause them to leap like a deer. Fourthly and finally, Jesus removes the curse of dumbness. Our text says, "And the tongue of the dumb sing." By nature, man is dumb. He is able to talk at length about all kinds of things, about the things of the world, about politics and economics and philosophy and science and sports and the latest TV show or movie or pop song or fashion trend. But when it comes to spiritual things, he is dumb. He is silent. He does not know what to say or how to say it. He cannot speak of God or of Christ. He cannot confess his sins. He cannot pray. He cannot verbalize what lives in his heart and soul. He is completely and utterly dumb. And yes, believers can be like that too. At times, even believers can be dumb about spiritual things, the things of God. The elders of the church or the pastor come to your home for a visit and they ask you, "How are you doing spiritually?" And you don't know what to say. When they ask you about the hope that lives within you, when they ask you, "Who is Christ for you? What has he done for you?" And how you're striving to live that out in your daily life, again, you don't know what to say. When you're in church and the congregation is singing praise to God in the worship service, you barely make a sound. When you pray, you can barely manage to say a few well-worn phrases, and that's it. Or you have a golden opportunity to share the gospel with someone, but you say nothing. We are so dumb when it comes to the things of God and of spiritual life. My friend, does that describe you? Are you dumb this morning? If so, I have good news for you. Jesus has come to reverse the curse of dumbness. He has come to cause the dumb not just to speak, but to sing, which is the highest form of speech. In Matthew chapter 9, we read that one day the Jews brought to Jesus a man who was mute and demon-possessed. And when the demon was cast out, the mute spoke. And the multitudes marveled, saying, "It was never seen like this in Israel." Earlier I referred to the man who was both deaf and dumb, and Jesus took him aside and he put his fingers in his ears and spat and touched his tongue, and he looked up to heaven and sighed and said, "Be opened," and immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and guess what? He spoke plainly. Similarly, when old Zacharias who had become dumb as a punishment for his unbelief. When he wrote on the tablet that his son would be called John, we read in the Gospels that immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. And when Moses complained that he was not able to speak well, God said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say." Jesus causes the dumb to speak. He is able and willing to cause you to speak as well, even to sing if you ask him. The psalmist wrote, "O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise." Is that also your prayer today? Our Lord reverses the curse of sin on the spiritually disabled. We've seen that this involves a powerful transformation, and next we'll see how it leads to a glorious consummation. Through his word and Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ causes the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the lame to leap, and the mute to sing. And as we've seen, even after their conversion to Christ, believers are not perfect. Traces of this blindness, this deafness, this lameness and muteness remain to their last dying day. But beloved, there will come a day when our Lord returns, when all of these traces of disability will be done away with once and for all. And that's implied by the context. Isaiah 35, from which our text is taken, describes the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. There, Isaiah says, the desert will blossom as the rose. The glory of the Lord shall be in it. The waters will burst forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The parched ground will become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. There will be grass with reeds and rushes. A highway will be there, the highway of holiness, and no lion will be there, nor will any ravenous beast go up on it. And its inhabitants will come to Zion with singing. They will obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The point is, the new heavens and the new earth will be perfect and beautiful. And the inhabitants of this place will also be perfect. For Isaiah says that the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. And that will be true physically. In the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no physical deformity. There will be no handicap, no disability. There will be no blindness, no muteness, no lameness, no deafness. There will be no sickness or disease of any kind. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 42 to 44, the Apostle Paul, speaking of the resurrection of the dead, says that the body is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it will be raised a spiritual body. And in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, the same apostle says that on the last day, Christ will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. In Revelation 21, verse 4, John says that in the New Jerusalem, God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things will have passed away. The point is, our bodies will be perfect. What a comfort this is for those who suffer from sickness and disease and disability in this life. One day, all of their suffering will be over. The blind will no longer be blind. The lame will no longer be lame. The deaf will no longer be deaf. And the mute will no longer be mute. They will see and run and leap and shout and sing to all eternity. And they will never grow weary, nor will any of their faculties diminish over time. They will be just as perfect a billion years from now, if we can even measure time and eternity, as they were when they were raised from the dead. But this will also be true spiritually. In the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no more spiritual blindness, no more spiritual lameness, no more spiritual muteness or deafness, for we shall be like Christ. At 1 John 3, verse 2, John writes, "Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Oh, how wonderful that will be. In the new heavens and the new earth, there will be no more doubts or fears. There will be no more problems with assurance. There will be no more periods of spiritual drought and lethargy. There will be no more sin or temptation, for we shall be perfect. And our faith will be perfect. And our lives will be perfect. And our hearts will be perfect. We will be like Christ. Oh, do you desire that for yourself today? It can be yours if you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and live for Him and for His glory. Have you done that? If not, will you do so today? Why would you not? I mean, who wants to be blind and deaf and mute and lame? No one. And so I say to you, come to Christ. Believe on His name, and He will receive you unto Himself, and He will change you. He will make the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the mute to sing, and the lame to leap like a deer, both now and forever. Amen. Dear friends, it's our great joy and privilege to be able to preach to you the Word of God every Sunday on this station. If you are blessed by, or if you have a comment on the message you've heard today, we'd very much appreciate hearing from you. May I please ask you to write us a short note if you appreciate this ministry? It's very important for us to know if people are listening so that we can be wise in terms of how to allocate the resources that the Lord has given to us. You can write to us at the Banner of Truth, 3386 Mount Lehman Road. Lehman is spelled L-E-H-M-A-N, and that's in Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. And when you write, please indicate the call letters of this station. Please note that we do not send out CDs of our radio messages, but you can access and download all of our messages at any time from our website at www.banneroftruthradio.com. That's banneroftruthradio.com. Support for this program is provided by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. For more information about our churches, including where you can find a church nearest you, please visit our denominational website at www.frcna.org. Your financial support for this program is welcome and deeply appreciated. If the Lord has placed in your heart a desire to help us to offset the costs of broadcasting this program on this station, you can send us a check in any amount. Again, our mailing address is 3386 Mount Lehman Road, Abbotsford, British Columbia, V4X2M9. Or you can go to our webpage and make a donation right on the webpage. Our webpage again is banneroftruthradio.com. Thank you for listening, and now until next week, may the Lord be with you all.